Gary Chapman has written several books related to the family. The Five Love Languages is one of his books that I have enjoyed and use and trying to help other families. But he's written a book entitled Five Signs of a Loving Family. And in it, he makes this statement. Few things in life have as much potential for bringing us happiness as do family relationships. Conversely, few things can bring us as much pain as broken family relationships. Last Sunday was Mother's Day, as you know. Father's Day is set for June the 20th. And in between Mother's Day and Father's Day, I'd like for us to spend some time on Sunday mornings talking about the family and looking through the Word of God, searching for principles that He has given us that will help our families become stronger. This morning, I'd like for us to understand and apply what I believe to be a key concept that will help make our families stronger. And I want us to look at this concept, this biblical principle, as a gift that we need giving to others, to our loved ones. It's something that we all need. It's something that we all need to give to each other in every relationship. The gift of which I speak, the Bible principle, is the gift of honor. The gift of honor. The Bible word comes from the Greek word which means to prize, to fix a valuation upon, to honor, to value. The idea seems to be to count as valuable. To honor someone means to count them as valuable. It's based on the realization of another's worth. We'll see that it has related ideas. The ideas like respect and consideration, honor, esteem. All of these tie into this word in the Bible. So let's discuss this morning about how you and I can give this gift of honor. First of all, notice some biblical instruction. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7 gives instruction to husbands. Husbands, likewise, dwell with your wives, understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Giving honor to the wife. There's our word, honor. It's something that should characterize the treatment of that husbands give to their wives. We should honor them. To honor her, Burkean and Faulkner have written, is to give her dignity. Is to help her recognize her value and to express how much we value her. In 1955, there was a book published, The Christian Home, by P.D. Wilmoth. And he suggests three things that can help husbands honor their wives. Showing her sympathy and understanding. Making her a sharer of all his life. Showing tenderness and affection. That was written in 1955. But folks, some things just don't change. So those, they may have been said or written many years ago, but they do express some ways that husbands can honor their wives. Again, Burkean and Faulkner write, honor comes from the heart of a man when he respects God's opinion of his wife's value. May I remind us that when God created the world and saw that it was good, he identified one thing that was not good. And that was that man was alone. And so he created woman. And thus the first marriage became a reality. And in that marriage and all other marriages, even witnessing Brandon and Emily being married yesterday, all husbands are to honor their wives. Ephesians 5, verse 33, Paul says, by inspiration, nevertheless, let each one of you, speaking to husbands again, in particular, so love his own wife as himself. But then he addresses the wives, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Yes, that's a different word, respect. But certainly it would be included in the idea of honor. So husbands are to honor their wives. Wives are to honor their husbands. Respect their husbands. The need for admiration and respect, according to Willard Harley in his book, His Needs, Her Needs, is one of the five basic needs of men. To be sincerely, genuinely admired, appreciated, and respected. And so a loving wife will understand that need and express how valuable he is to her. She will remind him of his capabilities and help him maintain his walk with God and help maintain his self-confidence. She'll be proud of her husband and will express sincere admiration for him because she loves him and she has chosen to spend the rest of her life with him. Wives, respect your husbands, and in so doing, you're expressing honor to them. But then on into Ephesians chapter 6, beginning verse 2. Children are instructed, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. As I said earlier, there's some things that just don't change. And this is another, that we're to honor our mothers and fathers. I say they just don't change because it goes back to the Ten Commandments. You'll remember that one of those was to honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Exodus 20 and verse 12. And that principle has never changed and will never change. Children are always to honor their parents. It's the first commandment with a promise. And that promise was and is that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Honoring our parents would certainly include obeying them. First verse of chapter 6 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We honor our parents by obeying their instruction. But there's so many other ways. But let me stop here to discuss this one a little bit more with us. How do children learn to honor their parents and others? How do children learn to show their honor to other people? Obviously, they must be taught. Let me remind you of two things. Number one, first, children must be taught to express even common courtesies. I think our time as parents is well spent when our children are young and even as they grow older to teach them and to remind them to practice common courtesy, to say please and to say thank you, to say excuse me. And I believe in the South we have a wonderful tradition of saying yes ma'am, no ma'am, yes sir, and no sir. I know our friends in the North may not have that practice, but I think it's one that we need to hang on to because it expresses honor and respect to adults. Now, when they're young and we're trying to teach them to practice those common courtesies, they do more so out of just obedience. But don't minimize those opportunities. Because as they grow, they will certainly learn that just by saying please and thank you and yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, these are ways that will show respect. They must be taught to express common courtesies. But secondly, they must be shown. They must observe their parents and other adults demonstrate honor to others. You see, the art of expressing honor is best learned by observation. And we know that. But do we keep it in mind? Do we recognize that there are little eyes watching us as we interact with others? A child observes the manner in which parents honor other people, and they tend to emulate that. Here's one example. When the grandparents come by, and perhaps they live nearby, they frequent the home. How do the parents of the child treat their own parents? Do they make sure they're comfortable? Do they speak kindly to them? Do they say positive things to them? Do they listen attentively as they speak? And if so, then the children are learning how to show honor and respect to adults. But if, on the other hand, children hear their parents treat the grandparents coldly or with neglect, if they're inattentive to them, or if their conversation is sometimes curt or harsh, then the children are picking up on that as well. Perhaps you remember hearing about a couple who had taken in the wife's mother, but with a great deal of resentment. And due to some physical difficulties, the grandmother was quite messy and as she ate. And eventually her daughter decided that she needed to eat at a separate table by herself because she was so messy. And she said, probably jokingly on one occasion, "Mom, I think we're going to have to build a trough for you to use. You're so messy." Later that day, the son of this couple was out in the backyard nailing pieces of wood together. His dad saw what he was doing and said, "Son, what are you building?" He replied, "I'm building a trough for Mama when she gets old." Where do children learn to express honor for other people, for their own parents? They're learning right now. From their parents, from other adults in their lives. How mothers and fathers honor each other is a model to our children. If we remember birthdays, if we celebrate anniversaries in special ways, if we brag on each other in front of the children, if we express appreciation for things done, then our children are learning proper ways to express respect and honor. But if all they hear from their mom and dad are complaints and constantly pointing out faults and criticisms, then the children learn those behaviors and they are raised to be critical children. They're learning whether we want them to or not. And they're also watching how adults interact with other adults. They're listening as parents speak about other people, perhaps not even in their presence. And they're picking up and they're learning all the while. Folks, our children won't learn to express honor and respect unless they see us doing the same. So let's conclude with some very practical application. Taking the letters of the word honor, here's some principles from God's word we need to apply to demonstrate honor. Number one is hear or listen. Jesus said several times, "He who has ears, let him hear." And we need to use our ears to not just hear, but to really, really listen. As James says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, swift to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." Really listen. That's one of the greatest ways we can express respect and honor to another person is by genuinely, actively listening to that person. And that communicates to them, not only what you're saying is important to me, but you are important to me. And what you have to say is something that I really want to grasp. Hear. Listen. Give your undivided attention. And by your words and actions, you'll be communicating to them just how important they are to you. Oh, be other-centered. Be other-centered. Not self-centered. Selfishness is the greatest single enemy in all relationships, especially our family relationships. If we're all wrapped up in ourselves, then that breaks down and that builds up walls between us. Be other-centered. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. We show honor to our loved ones by centering our thoughts on them, by being considerate of them, by being genuinely concerned for them. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, which we quoted earlier, in another translation, states it like this: husbands, in the same way, be considerate. Dwell with them with understanding, or be considerate as you live with your wives. That requires something that most of us struggle with, being sensitive to our wives. Seeing through their eyes, feeling through their fingertips, hearing through their ears, putting ourselves in their spot and trying to see the world from their perspective. But being considerate of others is how we express honor to them. Again, Rakeen and Faulkner cite, when people stop being considerate, they start taking each other for granted. Be other-centered. In, never humiliate. Never humiliate. When you speak publicly about your loved one, always speak positively about your loved one. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, what is good for building up, that it may impart grace or benefit the hearers. When you speak about your loved one, when you speak about your spouse or your children, in whatever context, whether it's with your friends, whether it's on the phone, whether it's on Facebook, when any public forum, we've got to practice this principle. Never humiliate. Never speak badly about our loved one. Never air out your dirty laundry in some public forum. It is degrading, it's demeaning, it's dishonorable. Never humiliate. O is for offer appreciation. Offer appreciation. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 2 says, we give thanks to God always for you all. Here's the apostle writing to this church in Thessalonica. We give thanks to God for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering that without ceasing, your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. He says, we're thankful for you, for your active faith, for your labor of love, for your perseverance of hope. That labor of love caught my attention. We know so many of our family members and friends that are involved in labors of love. Have you expressed your gratitude to your mother, for example, for her labor of love? Have you expressed your gratitude for your father for caring for you and doing his best to provide for you? Have you thanked your aging parents for caring for you through the years, for their labor of love? Who is it that you and I need to thank again, to let them know how deeply we appreciate them? Offer appreciation. And finally, respect others. Honor is the expression of respect or esteem. It's recognizing the importance of someone. And it's seeking to express that love and devotion and appreciation to that person. Respect others. Again, 1 Peter 3, verse 7, in the New International Version. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Treat them with respect. Honor them. But it's not just husbands toward their wives, but wives toward their husbands, children toward their parents, and yes, parents toward their children. Respect each other. I believe if we'll follow this biblical teaching, if we'll really seek to honor each other in these ways, that our families will be blessed and grow stronger. So on your honor others. Make it a point. I'm not going to speak badly about. If I have a problem with a loved one, I'm going to speak to them privately. I'm not going to tell everybody else about their negative qualities. And I'm going to do my best to express respect and honor and build them up. But again, one of the most profound principles in Scripture, throughout the Scriptures, is not only honor others, but above all, honor God. You are worthy, O Lord, Revelation 4, verse 11, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. We must first and foremost honor God, recognizing his immeasurable value, his magnificent qualities, his all-powerful nature. Honor him. But this God who deserves our honor has also instructed us and shown us how to honor those around us. Are you honoring God with your life? The best way to honor God with our lives is to live as one of his people. If you've never obeyed the gospel, we hope and pray that you'll do so even this morning. That you'll honor what Jesus did for you on the cross by dying for your sins, by submitting your life to him. That based upon your faith, you'll turn from sin and repentance and confess Jesus and be baptized so that your sins can be washed away by his blood. And as you're raised from that watery grave of baptism and you're added to the family of God, that we'll all be determined that we're going to continue to honor God with all of our lives. But that includes honoring those around us, giving respect to those that we know and love. Perhaps we need the prayers of the church as we strive to follow God's will. If that be the case, if you're subject to the invitation of Christ, won't you come right now as we stand and sing?